bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Ian Stenlake is a name that will be familiar to a lot of you, and if it's not, well, it should be. It means you don't get out enough and, you know, take interest in what's going on in our country and in our town. There's a new show, Around the World in 80 Days, and I just said to Ian before we came on air, if you actually, now, you could actually go around the world in less than 80 hours, but there was, I think that Russian balloonist, I think he did 80 days or something close to it.
I thought it was even, it was 10 days, 12 days.
10 days?
Yeah, so, you know, these days you can jump in a craft that is blown just by the wind and still smash the 80 days.
Yeah. It's, I mean, fabulous story, Around the World in 80 Days. Most of us, I mean, I've forgotten most of it, but most of it, most of us will be familiar with the title.
Yes.
And what the story is about. Tell us what it's about.
Well, obviously, you know, it's adapted from the Jules Verne novel. And of course, that was also an amazing film. 3-hour film.
Yeah, it was
back
wasn't
in
it?
The 50s or something. And, but yeah, essentially, at the end of the, you know, the late 1800s, the world was becoming a smaller place for them, and they worked it out that you could possibly get around the world in 80 days. And a gentleman called Phileas Fogg in London.
What a great name.
Isn't it great? Which I have the pleasure of playing, Phileas Fogg. And he suggests to a couple of other gentlemen at the Reform Club in London that, you know, I'll bet you £20,000 that I can go around the world in 80 days. So that's the crux, excuse me, the crux of the story. But of course, it's a lot more involved than that, because he gets chased by the police. He gets there's a robbery, there's a murder, and there's a romance at the heart of this as well. And it's an adventure, but it's lots of fun.
How do you you know, because as a film, obviously they had the ability, you know, to have lots of, you know, scene changes and, you know, stuff like that. In terms of as a theatre production. That's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? Isn't it?
Certainly is.
Yeah.
There's three actors in this.
Yes.
We've got Grant Pirro and Pia Miranda, fantastic actors. And between the three of us, we play 39 characters. So, you know, I won't give too much away, but I will say that hats are important in this show. and, of course, our set, it's a beautiful design, and we're able to move the set around and represent different things. So there's also different styles in this adaptation. Sometimes it's, you know, it's farce.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a bit of miming. But we've got to recreate, you know, trips on steamboats or on trains. We're recreating fights. We're recreating elephant rides. We're recreating balloon rides. So, you know, I always say with difficult terrain comes an interesting solve. And I think we've achieved that with Terence O'Connell directing us.
So how many characters do you play?
I get off lightly.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say 39 and three actors, you know, it's about three.
I know. I was hoping you wouldn't ask because I seem really great. But no, Pia and Grant, I think, are picking up the majority of those characters. I've probably got about five.
Yep.
So it's certainly a departure from anything I've done in more recent years. And it's great fun and great to do something that's just so joyous. It's such a fun piece. And yeah, you get to see three actors working as hard as they can to keep the ball alive and turning on a dime, you know.
Yeah.
Playing two scenes at once, one person's playing two characters and just flipping between the two scenes. And I haven't had this much fun for a long time. We've literally been crying watching each other.
Yeah. I'm interested when, a story or, you know, this performance, you know, the name of the performance is known to everyone. Most people, you know, a lot of people have seen the film, read the book. It's an historical perspective on something that is just so completely changed.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, life today is still full of characters. In terms of playing that, you know, it is, in a historical sense, you've got to try and really hard to remain so true to it, don't you? Because that's what made it such a great story.
Absolutely. And I think it resonates really well today. You know, some of the words, you know, Jules Verne's words, I think he was a visionary then. And so to hear him saying, you know, that communication will be, you know, some of the catch cry of the future. And he was a futuristic person. So it's kind of a really, not nostalgic, but just I find it fascinating to think, wow, this is what this guy was creating, these images back then.
Yeah.
And so, yes, but it's the Victorian age. And so we get to play with that. And as an actor, it's a great fun thing to do, especially as, you know, if you think of a true English gentleman, you know, the Victorian age at the Reform Club. And you know, these guys don't muck around, especially when it comes to talking about a wager.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, in those days, it was the day of the gentleman adventurer.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the Reform Club. I was watching, sort of slight diversion the other night. There are only 27 dukes still left in the UK, and only 3 in the House of Lords.
Yeah, right.
And of those 27 dukes, only about 5 of them actually live as dukes used to. The rest are commercial dukes, as they say, so that history that people associate with it, you know, similar. So, you know, they've lost everything, you know, because most of them got kicked out of the House of Lords.
Yes, right.
But, you know, the history associated with this story and, you know, how those roles are played, how they're portrayed, and how it was a reflection of the time, but it was a reflection of what they saw as the future.
Yes.
That's why I say, you know, is balancing that, the future now that we're living, and, you know, we're thinking about, yeah, well, look, I can do this, I can do that. That's what I find really interesting about plays with a bit of history and stories with a bit of history is, as an actor,
yes,
how do you put aside what, I know you're playing the role, but how do you put aside what you know now, and you're playing something that really is totally alien to you?
Well, I think you've got to find what we call as ifs. You know, this situation for them back then would be the same as if I was thinking about traveling to Mars.
Okay.
On a spaceship.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, you get the chance to I think it's about wonder and awe. Mm. You know, a lot of that. And, you know, Terrence especially has been watching us.
Yeah.
Things like even place names back then, you know, Bombay, Calcutta, Yokohama.
Mm.
I mean, they were, today we can rattle them off because we've seen them or we've been there or we're going to go there or, you know, they don't seem that far away. But back then it just would seem a million miles away, like another planet.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one way of sort of, I guess, capturing that spirit or that sensation.
Mm. I'm very envious. I mean, I did some acting at uni and stuff. I'm a failed actor, very failed. I always, you know, admire actors because, you know, to put yourself in that place and into that headspace, I think it's a real challenge. I don't know. I can't do it. I can't do it.
I agree with you. I think it's a real challenge.
Yeah.
I think that's why I like it. I think, I've been attracted to acting, I think, because I do find it challenging and therefore rewarding.
Mm. Live theatre, you know, is always challenged in terms of venues and audiences, the length of the season. Do you see a good future still for live? I mean, I do.
Yes.
For live theatre?
Oh, for sure. Because you can't replace... Mm. That you know, that transaction or that conversation between an audience, a live audience, and live players.
Yeah,
it will never. You can't replace that. Mm. You know, film and TV has its place, but you cannot replace that. Just that, the immediacy of it. You know, that's what drew me first. My first conscious live piece of theatre completely transformed me.
And what was that?
Well, it was So when I say conscious life theatre, it was, I was 20 years old and I was in Rome in Italy and I was taken to a play by a group of Italian, you know, Roman Italian actors. And so I didn't even understand the language, of course, But I got the play just through their, you know, observing their body language. And I did have a friend who was translating every now and then. But what happened to me in that little theatre changed my life.
Right.
You know, so, and I wanted to be a part of that on the other side.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I thought I could. I don't know why. I'm 27 years later, I'm still trying. I'm halfway through a 50-year apprenticeship. I'm going okay.
Fantastic. So, where's it on?
We're at the Alex Theatre
in
St Kilda.
Mm-hmm.
I think we open Saturday week, 27th, I'm going to say, 27th.
Yeah, 27th, Saturday week.
Fairly short season. I think we then power on for another week, and then we've got a little tour to Geelong and into Whitehorse, Nunawading Way, I think.
Out that way,
And then I believe next year, it's very exciting, hopefully not giving too much away, but I believe there's going to be quite a substantial regional Victorian tour.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Now, Ian wants to ask you a question.
Look, I grew up in a family that loved the Seekers.
Oh, wow.
You got to give... I saw the show here. Tell me about playing the role and how the Seekers, Georgie Girl, went throughout the country.
Well, you know, it's always awesome to have a job as an actor. And it's icing on the cake if you can be part of, one, a brand new show, and two, a brand new Australian show. So for me, it was an absolute pleasure and privilege to help bring The Seekers, the musical, to life. And I certainly learned a lot. And, you know, you learned about what it was like to be, again, you know, quite nostalgic, to be a teenager in the 60s and then become a megastar, a worldwide star. So, you know, that comes with its own challenges. You know, it may not seem to, but it does. So I got to play John Ashby, Judith Durham's lover. If you can't be a seeker, be a lover, I say. But to watch the guys play the Seekers and represent them was incredible every night. And it was so well... I've never been in a show so well received by Australian audiences. It was just tremendous.
Yeah. Has it got traction to leverage internationally, particularly to the UK, Ian? You know, because clearly the Seekers really hit prominence there.
Well, I think so. I really do think so. You know, I'm sure the producers are looking at that. Certainly the overseas... I got to speak to quite a few people from overseas, and I was surprised. I wasn't surprised by the English... Well, you know, people from the UK loving it and enjoying it and saying, you know, oh, you must bring that over. It'll be fantastic. You know? What was really surprising was perhaps, you know, the Chinese or the Japanese audience members who just absolutely loved it. And I'm not sure if they knew the Seekers, but if they didn't, it didn't matter. This music, I think their music transcends, you know, race, transcends time, and you know, especially finishing off with something like I Am Australian, there's a nationalistic song that makes any person, you know, makes the hairs on their neck stand up.
Now, you're playing a role that you love at the moment. You just spoke about the Seekers. Is there a role in a play or a role in a play that you'd love to play that you haven't done yet? In case you know, agents or promoters listening, is there one that you thought, I've always wanted to do this?
You know what? I think some of the, you know, if I was to say something like Hamlet, Hamlet's always intrigued me, but terrifies me. You know, in the seat of my stomach, I think, could I really tackle that? You know, and I think it would be amazing to do something like that. But then again, I started acting too late, I think, to play Romeo, but with a bit of Botox, I think we.
Yeah,
I think there's one more left in me.
Pull it off. Fantastic. Look, good luck around the world in 80 days.
Yes.
Opens in a week or so. I'm very envious. It'd be a great show. I think I have to come along 39 characters. It's just just to observe.
It'd be good to see you there.
Observe the costume changes and everything. Thank you so much, Ian.
Thank you.
Stanley.
Listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.